This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, you could say this about Nick Sirianni. All he does is win 44-19. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. 12:30, Ross Tucker. At 1 o'clock, we kiss the baby, another NFL team after the week of the season.
Let me get my list out.
Yeah, you need that list as we start eliminating teams. And at 1:30, LeSean McCoy will join us. Backs for Barkley as we make the push for an MVP. But we started the show today discussing Nick Sirianni. And if you're willing to say he's great. And Hugh said he's very good. I'm willing to say he's good now. After I've had my issues with Nick, but he's having a good season. This team is 10-2. He's a good coach. Some out there are willing to say that he's great. Are you one of them? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Brandon in Philadelphia. I think you know this voice. Brandon Graham in Philadelphia. Brandon, how are you?
BG,
what's up?
Hey, he's great.
What's going on? Did you have your surgery this morning,
Yeah,
Brandon?
That's what I'm about to say. How did surgery go?
Hey, man, fresh out the surgery. Just got home, man. Wanted to, you know.
You got that arm in a sling. He be on them good drugs right now, man. Them drugs ain't wore off yet. Hey, yo, he over there feeling good.
You might get the whole truth.
So, okay, with that being said, Brandon, what is it about Coach Sirianni that have you guys playing the way that you're playing for him? What did he do?
You know what? Honestly, you know, he always what I say about Nick is, you know, he always talk about them details, man, and, like, situational ball. And every year has gotten better. Like, you know, it wasn't perfect in the beginning. He just was, you know, kind of getting them early jitters out. Because I remember when he first did his press conference, what was it? The little sunflower, like, people used to wear around. Like, he's so farther removed from that. And like you say, all he do is win. It's because we got his back. And I think, you know, that speaks a big, you know, it's a big testament to him and his staff, you know, Howie and the way they doing things. I mean, the way, you know, everybody's communicating, Jalen included, you know, communicating with the coach, letting them know what he like, what he don't like, and everybody trying to, you know, figure it out together. But I think that Nick has done a great job each and every year of just getting better, policing himself on what he's not good at, because he go off on himself in the meetings and, you know, stuff people don't see, man. I mean, you know how it is, Hugh. It's like, you know, if coaches don't hold themselves accountable and it's all about all the player, and you know, he finding everything.
Yeah, they're going to be looking at him like he crazy.
Yeah.
Start looking at him like he crazy.
You know, and so people don't see that part. They just see some of the decisions that's being made, you know, that's out there. But I trust him. Like, we're going to be aggressive. You know who was aggressive, and we look what happened to us. We won one with Doug. And so, you know, I understand we ain't going to make all of them, but with the trust that we got together as a team, even me being on that sideline this weekend, man, it just felt so good just seeing how we just brainstormed and figured it all out, especially when they was up 9-0. It was just like, all right, y'all, like, calm down. They ain't doing nothing crazy. We just got to, you know, get reel it in. Everybody, we just got to get a stop on defense. That's what we was talking about. And then on the offensive side, it's like we got to make a big play. We got to get a big play to get us going. And, man, I hate that Nick go through a lot stuff, but that's part of it. You know, heavy is the head, the word of the crown. And so I understand that part. But we got his back, man, and I'm so happy that we went on this little spree, because now, you know, people were seeing what we already were seeing in practice, and it's starting to come together, and it's still coming together.
Well, people are coming around. A lot of people today, Brandon, are willing to say he's great. Brandon, how to make you proud on the sideline Sunday to watch the young pass rushers, Nolan Smith, Jalik Sunt.
Those got kids, him a half. Got him a half.
They're coming along here, Brandon. What was it like watching them?
Man, it felt good because, you know, that's all we do is pour into each other. And everybody is so excited for each other, man. There's nobody out there got their own agenda. As a D-line, Hugh know this. It's like, man, it takes everybody. Like, if Hugh doing his job on the inside, pressing that pocket, like Jalen Carter and them boys, the ends definitely got to make sure that they keep contained so that we all can bottle them up. And, I mean, Lamar Jackson, that's Lamar Jackson. I mean, people can say what they want. You could try to keep them contained, but I think we did a great job for as long as we could, you know, to keep them contained, because, boy, that boy got the moves. He quick. He's a professional, too, but I think that what was great is the DBs. Man, I got to give it to all the guys in the back end, too, because it all works together. Zach Bond, the linebackers, you know, them boys playing lights out, you know, up against the run. And, man, that was one thing that I was happy about, that we got to stop the run, you know, because that's what get they pass going most of the time. And Zay Flowers, for sure, wasn't as big of a threat as he's been in previous games. That's a Q and them, that boy Cooper, you know, and, you know, dang, why can't I think of his name? DB 34.
Isaiah Rogers.
Yeah, Rogers. That boy Rogers. I mean, and the safeties, too. I mean, that boy CD was out there capping off, like hitting, coming up, hitting, you know, 22. And, you know, I just think it's great team ball that we was playing, man. And all we going to do is keep building. And I know Nick was already – we had came in the next day. We wasn't even off till today. We came in the next day. Nick went over them corrections. And it's like, look, y'all, let's keep this going. He going to take care of us on the back end like he do. But we got to come in. We got to get these corrections. And that's what I think is even greater. Like, man, we don't let these wins – we enjoy them, but we don't let them – you know, we ain't satisfied because we're trying to win this trophy.
Keep stacking wins. Let's get home field advantage. BG, we appreciate you listening, calling in, and rest up and,
yeah, man, get
some
better. Rest.
Yeah, no, I am. I just had to call because I ain't get to talk to, you know, my people this morning. So I had to let it be known that, you know, hey, y'all talking about Nick, man. I had to come in, you know, get on some people real quick.
Well, that's a big vote. It's a big, you know, we get the big vote when you say he's great. Brandon, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Get well soon, bro.
Yeah.
There he goes. Brandon Graham, fresh off of surgery, listening to the Midday Show, calling in.
On them good drugs,
throwing
too.
His 2 cents in there, saying Nick Sirianni's great. I mean, I didn't expect a different vote.
Yeah,
but
you expect that from BG. That's his guy.
But it's a big vote.
Yeah, that's a huge vote.
He kind of cooked you.
That's all right. I'm not going to.
My pettiness is rubbed off on Kyle. That's the first thing that comes out of his mouth.
I mean, did he cook me? He's got his take. I have
my
take.
He just came out from under the knife, and he was like, this guy, Joe Giglio,
said he's
is
not
a
great.
Moron.
Yeah. He didn't say those words.
He's thinking
well, that's
it.
How he did.
But he told me on the phone.
But the whole audience thinks that. It's one thing to say it. It's one thing to say. All right, 215-592-9494. Look, I can only push so much back on Brandon Graham. That's his coach, that he's on the team. You know what I could push back on, though? Howard Eskin yesterday. Listen to this back and forth. We're talking about Sirianni yesterday. I thought yesterday or Sunday was one of the best wins, if not the best win in the Sirianni era, all things considered. But then Howard comes on. I'm trying to be nice to Sirianni. And then he goes over the top with this yesterday.
That's okay. So you wanted to fire the head coach who has unbelievable legendary. That's a word that you may not understand.
Hold on.
You understand.
Can we stop with the legendary stuff?
Wait a minute. He's got a career winning percentage. It's the sixth best in NFL history.
Through less than 5 years.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it does.
Wait a minute. Through five. How many years do you think John Madden coached?
John, I don't know. 10? 8?
Maybe 8. 8-9 years?
And he also won the Super Bowl.
Wait a minute. Nick Sirianni is not a good coach, a very good coach. I don't call him a great coach because that takes time.
Oh, okay.
But his numbers are legendary, you nitwit.
Legendary,
I like
says
how you call nitwit. You must have not been reading your text messages either.
His numbers are legendary, you nitwit.
He's been calling you all kind of mean hurtful
names
in the chat.
That's fine.
It can be rough on the text, man.
He's been calling you all kind of mean hurtful
names. That's because we're replaying when I cooked him yesterday when I tried to say to him, yeah. Madden coached way more than Sirianni. It's like, how many years? I said, I don't know, 8 or 10. He coached 10 years. Sirianni's coached 4+. Can we have a little context here? All right, 215-592-9494. I think it's a good segue from Brandon Graham to Howard's nonsense to Hulk Hogan, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Hogan?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up,
What's
man?
Going on?
Well, first of all, I think it's very curious timing with the Josh Allen hype, all right? He plays in the snow. You guys aren't going to say it, but I will. Josh Allen is now the favorite for MVP because there's nothing America loves more than watching a white kid playing in the snow.
Oh,
he's got
goodness.
Two
That's
white
a strong
first
take.
Names. Josh Allen. If Jalen Hurts was named Hunter Bradley, he'd be in the Hall of Fame by now.
Hunter Bradley.
That's
strong
one.
White name,
yeah.
Joe.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, those are very strong white names. exciting white.
All right. Now, what are we doing?
All right. Sirianni.
We're all inclusive yes. show.
He
all
is
inclusive.
A great coach. And I'll tell you why. You're
tell
talking
us.
About John Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What other coach could you guys picture replacing John Madden for a video game?
Bill Belichick.
Nick Sirianni.
No, stop.
Nick Sirianni, hear me out here, guys. Nick Sirianni, Madden-style game. Every time the play doesn't work, you hear Sirianni's voice taking the blame for it. That's my fault there, guys. I called that play. You have an Animal Crossing-style thing where you water the flowers outside of the link.
You actually might be onto something there.
You actually thought this through.
Yeah, every team's playbook has the tush push, regardless of what's going on. There might be something to Sirianni football 2045. I mean, we might get there one day.
I mean, think about this too: the Sirianni curse. Whoever gets on the cover of Sirianni 25 never gets credit, no matter how good they are for the rest of their career.
You know what? When you first said it, Hulk Hogan, I was like, this is ridiculous. But the more you go through it, maybe Sirianni is the new Madden franchise video game guy.
Nah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, that'd be a. Madden sold a lot of games, man. You know, they did a. What do they call those things that they do? Like a. The history.
Documentaries?
That's what they call them, Joe.
They couldn't figure out documentaries?
No, dude, Hulk Hogan, good phone call.
I had a brain fart. Documentary. They did a documentary on how big his impact was on that franchise.
Yeah, no, of course.
The Madden franchise.
He taught us all football in one way or the other, whether it be broadcast or the game.
He really did. I remember playing Madden. Was it Sega Genesis? Does anybody remember? Shout out to all the people that had a Sega Genesis.
I had a Sega, yeah.
I had a Sega Genesis. Well, I didn't have it. The dorm had it when I was in college. And that's all anybody talked about because it was Tecmo. It was right off of the heels of Tecmo Bowl. And Tecmo Bowl was the hotness then. And when Madden came out and the boom rattled his back, mm-hmm. like that, man, that changed the whole gaming franchise.
I do like the idea of having like a Farmville-esque outside the stadium where you're Sirianni watering plants.
Not Farmville. But, boy, y'all wild.
Well, all right, but hold
on a
second.
I think he's onto something there.
Well, he's also onto this, and this might come as a little startling to you when I say this.
Uh-oh.
Granted, big leap. If we win the Super Bowl with Nick Sirianni, Joe, we will be in the midst of the greatest stretch in Philadelphia Eagles history.
I agree with that. Actually, I think we had this discussion last year when they beat the Chiefs. Then they only won one more game the rest of the year. That it was like the greatest run in Eagles history.
Yeah.
But now we've piled on another season with a potential Super Bowl.
We can talk about what Madden meant to the Raiders and, you know, arguably.
You're right about this.
Yeah.
If they win the Super Bowl, this is the best 5-year stretch in franchise
Absolutely
history.
Is.
Two Super Bowl trips and a championship.
Yeah.
But, like, we got to do the toughest part is to come.
Baby steps? Brick by brick?
The toughest part is to come.
But it's there.
Well, yeah.
That's a thing.
They're one of, like, four or five teams that look like they legitimately can do this. So, yeah, it's certainly possible.
It's also almost, like, sad in a way. Like, because when the Phillies went to the playoffs for 5 straight years, it was like, wow, that's the greatest 5-year stretch in Phillies history. There haven't been that many great stretches.
Well, that's part of it, yeah. And like, any team that gets the two Super Bowls in a 5-year stretch, that's a big-time stretch. 215-592-9494. All right, where do you lie on Sirianni in terms of this? Are you willing to say right now he's a great coach? Because we've had a lot of people today. I mean, Howard yesterday, legendary. Today, Brandon Graham, fresh off of surgery, calling in, saying, you know, trying to get me to say he's great. I will say he's good. He's a good coach. He's doing a good job this year. Hughes did very good. Where do you come down? LT... He's in California. What's up, LT?
What's going on, man? How's it going?
Good, LT.
What's going on,
What's
man?
Up?
Hey, man, I just wanted to say Sirianni is a great coach, and I'll tell you why. He's a great coach because he's selfless, number one. The dude's been stuck with bad offensive coordinators since Shane Steichen left. Kellen Moore is terrible. He's been terrible. And let me tell you, what's more likely? That Kellen Moore, the passing, motioning offense coordinator that he's known for is grabbing the reins from Nick Sirianni and making this a running team, or is it that here we go again, Nick is stuck with this sucky coordinator and he's taking back over and saying, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going back to the RPO that's working now. Like,
I think the second thing's more likely, but also at some point, do we have to wonder if it's not all the coordinators, it's the quarterback, and that's why the offense is up and down?
Well that too. Look, he's limited with a quarterback. Nobody ever says it. Jalen Hurts is not 6 foot tall. He can't see over the middle of the field. He's limited in what he can do, but he makes the best out of that. And so, again, it's just more to why he's a great coach. And he never throws anybody under the bus. And that's why dudes like BG and all these other dudes call up and have his back, because he's never standing up there saying, yeah, man, these coordinators, he always takes it on the chin. Folks, they blame him when it's bad. They blame him when it's they give it credit to Kellen Moore when it's good. When it's bad, hey, man, it is what it is.
LT, there is a solution to this. We don't do this here. Like, he's an offensive guy. He could call the plays if he was good at it. Then we wouldn't have to worry about all these coordinators.
But he is good at it. The difference is he's not what – no, he's, this is what it is. He's not what the organization wants. When you're seeing the running happening, look, what's more likely? Kellen Moore, who's in charge of the first drive every time? It's the offensive coordinator. We haven't scored in the first quarter all year. And you can't tell me that's Nick Sirianni saying, okay, if anything, he said, Kellen Moore, you get to script the first drive. It never worked. And then all of a sudden, in the second half, we go to the locker room and we come out running, we come out doing this other stuff. So, again, like I said, he's calling the plays. We're just not giving him credit when it's happening and it's good. We're saying when it's bad, oh, man, it's Kellen, you know, it's Nick. But when it's good, oh, Kellen Moore's a genius. He switched from being this offensive passing, motioning guru to being a downhill, and let's give him props. That ain't what's happening, man. Let's keep it real. The players aren't going to say it, but if you can see football, you know what's happening, man.
Well, I think you're right on the head coach made the determination along with the players, like that whole meeting, like the old line went to him and said, let's run the ball. Good phone call. I mean, I think that's true. This is probably Sirianni driven that they've changed philosophy. As far as who gets credit for the plays that are working, I don't know. You divvy it up the way you want. I mean, like, you want to give Kellen credit, you want to give Nick credit, you want to
they're
give
all,
them.
They're all going to get.
They have great players. That helps. They have the best O line in the league. You know, one of the top two with them in the Lions. They have the best back in the league. I mean, like, I don't know. Give credit as you want.
Well, he does make a good point that Sirianni's the common denominator or the holdover from that 2021 offense, which that's basically what the O-linemen said they wanted it to change to, is that offense. Nick Sirianni is the one that's here from that. Shane Steichen isn't. So I'll make this point, though, because you said Sirianni's not the one calling the plays. We're going to find out pretty soon what Dan Campbell and the Lions look like when Ben Johnson's not there, right?
I think they will fall off.
Right, no, sure. But now if their offense falls off, is Dan Campbell going to have the wherewithal or, you know, the ability to say, hey, I know what was working in that Ben Johnson offense. Let's go back to it.
We'll find out. But that's
a feather in Sirianni's cap.
It is. And that's why, and I know everyone's into the CEO coach now, the motivator. I think there's going to be more of these. Kyle would hit this a few months ago. I think we're going to see more of these hires in the NFL. It makes it challenging, though, Hugh. If you don't call the plays, you're at the mercy of your coordinator. And it's like, does he stay? Does he get a job? Like, Sean McVay doesn't have to worry about this. It's his offense. Andy Reid doesn't have to worry about this. It's his offense. When it's not your offense or defense, right, if you're a defensive guy, you're at the mercy of, do I got good coordinators that year?
That's why you better have some good ones, man. And this is the thing that people fail to realize. How does the saying go? The rising tide lifts all boats. Mm-hmm. Man, all these boats about to be lifted. For whatever reason, we need to stop trying to figure out who's doing what for the success of the Eagles and just enjoy the success. Because guess what? Made a few phone calls this morning, and we were talking about it. Kellen Moore is going to be in position to probably get an interview for a head coaching job.
I think he will get interviews.
Regardless.
Yep.
Who is it? What's the running back's coach name? Jamal.
Singleton.
Singleton. He's going to get props for coaching Saquon Barkley, even though he ain't done nothing but just be the coach. Saquon's doing everything. That's how this thing works.
I think Saquon shouted him out after the game, too.
Yeah. So that's how this thing works, man. So stop hurting yourself and stop trying to bend yourself into a pretzel.
Well, I'm gonna
trying to figure out who's going to get the most credit. Guess who else is going to get some credit? Jalen Hurts, because he's the quarterback. you are
the head coach. The head coach is trying to say he deserves MVP consideration.
Messy individual, Kyle.
No,
well,
that's part of what we do as fans, right? It's part of what we do as fans. Yeah, we divvy up the credit, and I choose to give less to Sirianni than some people.
Is too much.
For the sake of the discussion, though, like, are any of us enamored with this Kellen Moore offense? Is it popping off the screen? Like, it's not something where if we lose Kellen Moore, I'm like, oh crap, what are we gonna do?
Wait a second. If we lose him, we got to learn a whole new offense again?
Well, if I'm comparing it to the quarterback
was upset about last year.
Can he suck it up?
He did suck it up. He's 10-2.
But how many are? Okay. So then we'll be freaking 10-2 again. I don't know.
We could get a Brian Johnson next. I mean, that's possible too, right?
Sure.
Like there's the others. I agree with you. Kellen Moore isn't like wowing me, but the other side of the coin is maybe there's a Brian Johnson 2.0 on the other side. I'd rather keep Kellen Moore than let him walk away. I wouldn't be happy if you left.
I mean, no, because there is a point to be made that the success that they're having year one in this offense.
Right,
can you imagine? Yeah, if you could build on that and get more comfortable with the guys you got. I think when you think about the upheaval that this team has had, two new coordinators, and where they are right now, we got the number one defense in the NFL in, 8 months, 10 months, something like that, whatever the math is on that. Got the number one defense. You went from the 26th to the number one defense. And I know, like they're saying, this offense is still the same, but that's not a bad thing, given the fact that the quarterback talked about earlier in the year how he's never had the same coordinator ever. And we're in a position where we're being talked about as being the best team in the NFL, and we're still complaining a little bit.
That's what we do. Quickly here, Pro Bowl voting. Perhaps if you want to look at it this way, another feather in Sirianni's cap. We'll see where this ends up. But, Hugh, considering their record and how far they up in the rankings in a lot of areas, not a ton of top votes for Pro Bowlers this season so far.
Gotta be Saquon, gotta be.
So Saquon is actually second in Pro Bowl voting behind Derrick Henry. Well, give me some players you think should be near the top of their position. I'll tell you if they are or not.
Who I think should be at the top?
Yeah, like who should be getting a lot of Pro Bowl votes. And I'll tell you if they are or not.
Give me some
players here.
Some votes. I would probably say A.J. Brown. Because he started off pretty strong.
All right, wide receiver votes for the Pro Bowl. A.J. Brown is not right. He's ninth in Pro Bowl voting.
I'll make it easy for you. Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter, defensive tackle. Let me find this.
Bond.
Is Zach Bond even?
Zach Bond should.
Eighth. He's eighth in linebacker.
He should be
voting.
Number one. Can say what we want about Nick Sirianni and all this. Eagles fans are lacking this year. What are we doing? We always have top.
So do you guys know where Jalen Carter ranks in the top 10 defensive tackle votes?
Top. He's eight.
How about not in the top 10?
This is Eagles fans' fault.
You're blaming the fans?
Yeah, we are always good at voting. We vote for all-star games. Like, how many Phillies did we get to the all-star game last year?
I think it's different in the NFL.
Well, it's a fan vote.
Well,
Rick Lovato is eighth in the long snapper.
How many Eagles did we send in 22? How many Eagles did we send in 2017?
Like, there's like eight or nine
in
22.
Well, like, what are we doing?
All right, before, forget the votes for a second. Who deserves to go to the Pro Bowl? Saquon?
I would say Zach Bond.
Saquon Bond.
I would say
some of the old linemen.
Carter.
I mean, I know we can't give it to all of them, but
I'd say Lane.
Lane.
I would say Quinyon. I'd say Quinyon.
Not.
Yeah.
Join
my life.
Well, he's been injured
a
little bit.
Games.
Well, yeah, that's damn. I
think like Landon or Landon.
Okay, so let's say Landon, Lane, Saquon. That's three. Bond.
I would say Mackay.
Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
He's missed a few games, too. I mean, he's having a great season.
He had a pretty good season for a guy that ain't never played guard.
Sure. I'm just trying to think of who the obvious ones on the O-line would be. That feels like Lane, maybe Landon.
Lane.
See, this is what I'm trying to tell you guys. We got 10 Pro Bowlers. The Sirianni's no genius. I mean, this is just rolling out there and play the game.
According to that voting, we have one.
Well, the voting's stupid. We just, together.
Or Sirianni doing a great job.
I think it's more likely the voting will change. And we all recognize they have a lot of good players.
That's a little narrative twist.
215-592-9494. All right. Ross Tucker is up next. Your calls as well. Are you willing to call Nick Sirianni a great coach? Have you gotten there? Kiss the baby at 1. At 1:30, backs for Barkley. We'll be joined by LeSean Shady McCoy. He'll make his case for Saquon Barkley to win the NFL MVP award. That's all coming up next. We talk to our guy Ross Tucker right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. You can start $150 of bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
festive, timely with this one? This one of your favorites, you?
Nah.
No.
One of Ross Tucker's favorites, though.
And there's no question about that. Joining us right now, as he does every Tuesday around this time, Ross Tucker. Follow him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL.
Ross,
how you doing today?
I am fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great because the Eagles don't lose anymore, Ross. And they just keep stacking these big wins. Ross, Sunday in Baltimore against the Ravens. I just continue to be blown away by this defense. And I know it should have been evident 6 weeks ago, but it's evident. Like, I can't ignore it anymore. Ross, it feels like they're the best defense in the NFL. Would you agree? How great do you think this defense is right now?
Well, I do think they're the best defense in the NFL, and I think statistically they've proven that since the bye. And I think that's, more than anything else, the biggest reason why the Eagles have such a good chance to win the Super Bowl. You know, it's so funny because we weren't really talking about their defense that much in the offseason or even earlier in the season, or really even, you know, more recently. It feels like more of the talk has been Saquon. I feel like Sunday, for them to do it against Baltimore, this Ravens offense is awesome, like electric, what Lamar Jackson has done this year. For them to hold those guys to basically 12 points, and then they got a garbage touchdown late. Now, listen, I know that Justin Tucker missed some kicks, and that absolutely impacted the game. Still, I thought was a very, very favorable performance for a defense that didn't even have one of their better players in Darius Slay.
You know, Ross, I'm curious, what do you see when you see Zach Bond play? What do you see from him, and why is he having so much success at that linebacker spot?
It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen, and I mean that sincerely. You know, it's such a hard sport to play. It's so hard to get to the NFL, as you know, Hugh, and to excel. For a guy to basically switch positions
yes,
and play this well at the new position right away, and to have such good instincts at the new position right away. Now, a lot of that is just he's obviously a very smart player, and he's able to do the work during the week in preparation to have a good feel for what's coming. But I can't emphasize this enough. I mean, I've talked to the linebacker coach about this. I've talked to Fangio about this. They brought him here. They initially had him on the radar to be a rotational edge guy, because the Saints had used him as an edge rusher at times, and to be a plus special teams player. And then when Fangio and Jed King watched him, the linebacker coach, they saw a couple of snaps. It was less than 20, I think, they told me, I want to say, where when the team would motion or shift the tight end, he would have to go from being on the ball to an off the ball in the box, and they saw enough in those, whatever it was, 20 snaps to give him this opportunity, and it's just absolutely flourishing. You can have good signings or whatever, or you can make good draft choices like Quinyon Mitchell or Cooper DeJean. Sometimes, you know, there is some good fortune. I think if they were being honest, even Fangio and Howie would tell you they weren't expecting this. They weren't expecting him to be this good. Although I don't know if they even thought that – I mean, obviously they loved DeJean to move up to get him. I don't know if they thought he'd be this good right away, especially with as much time as he missed in camp.
Well, he did miss a lot of time, and since he's gotten the lineup, they haven't lost a football game. And that hit – Ross, let's talk about that hit he had on Derrick Henry and just the impact that DeJean has had, because – yeah, if you had told me he'd be a starter right away, I said, oh, that makes sense. He was a really good player in college. Maybe should have been a first-round pick. But it feels like they had a huge weakness at the nickel spot with Avante Maddox the first month, and it's gone to a great strength. And that hit was like the exclamation point of his season so far.
No question. But what's crazy, Joe, is I think this is the third or fourth week I've been on with you guys, and we've talked about a Cooper DeJean play.
Yep.
You know, he had the Jamar Chase 4th-and-1. There was another one that was critical. That's the thing, is he's not just a good player. He's clutch. And that hit, now listen, you know, Henry had kind of just caught the ball, and I get that. It's not like Henry had a head of steam. It doesn't matter. It's the mindset. It's the confidence that gives the whole rest of the team. I saw a video with the whole sideline going absolutely crazy. I don't know what that celebration thing is that he did afterwards, but I'm here for it. I mean, it's I knew it would be good in coverage, But I don't think I knew he was this physical. You know, I mean, he had all the pick sixes at Iowa, was such a good punt returner. For him to be such a just straight up baller and physical like this, it's so important at that position. I mean, they play, you know, back in the day when there was 40 linemen, three linebackers, he's basically that linebacker. I mean, he's basically the third linebacker with as much as they play nickel. And he's showing that he can cover like a corner, but he can hit like and play physical like almost like a safety, maybe even more than a safety. It's almost like when I watch him, it's like you're watching Reed Blankenship, you know, on the tackling part of it and the run defense part of it, but then, you know, a very high-end corner on the coverage part. He's just he's a rare breed.
Go ahead, you.
No, I'm just about to say, you didn't say anything when Ross said something about him gathering and tackling Derrick Henry like that, but you gave me a whole lot of heat. But that's not
the deal. Hugh was trying to downplay the tackle.
No,
he was trying to downplay it, and I said, Ross, that was an awesome tackle.
Basically said the same thing that you said, and Joe gave me a lot of pushback.
So that's listen, neither here nor there.
No,
it was an amazing, pure form tackle by Cooper DeJean. It looked awesome. If Derrick Henry had a head of steam, there's not a prayer in heck that would have happened.
Ross, I didn't say all that, but that's what I was thinking. It was a good tackle.
Yeah.
But this is the question I wanted to ask you, because we had Cooper DeJean on last night, and he really, really downplayed it. But I just want to ask you, from your perspective, do you feel like tackling is contagious? Because when he got into the lineup, it felt to me like everybody had a conscious effort in that secondary to try to be better tacklers. So with that, do you think that tackling is contagious when it comes to stuff like that?
I think physicality is contagious. And the reason why I say that is I think you can tell when an offensive line has like a bully or two with it, and you can see the offensive lines that don't. I've always noticed that. You know, when John Runyon was here, and you know this, Hugh, he like the rest of the O-line, they weren't all like him, right?
Mm-mm.
But they were more than they otherwise would have been because they saw what he did, and they didn't want to look bad by comparison. So like Wellborn and Hank and those guys, they gave it a little bit more than they probably naturally would have. I think on defense, when you have guys out there laying the wood, I think you see the reaction on the sideline. You see the reaction. You want to be the one.
Yeah, you
want to
be a part
reaction.
Of that. Yeah, you want to be a part of that.
But I will say this. Quinyon is not afraid to hit. And then Gardner Johnson lays the wood. You know, we know Reed will hit people. So Slay's probably the only one that's not, you know, he's been around a long time. Slay's just trying to make sure he stays healthy and is there for the rest of the year. He's not really trying to lay people down. The other guys, I mean, that's who Reed is. That's who Gardner Johnson is. And Quinyon and Cooper DeJean, let's hope that's who they are. But right now, they're at least they're young bulls, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to show what they got.
Ross, how important is the number one seed? It feels like the two top teams in the NFC are clearly the Eagles and Lions. So I think the Packers at that third spot, they're dangerous. But Eagles, Lions, how important do you think the number one seed is? Because the Eagles obviously have a real chance now if they could finish strong here.
Very, very, very important. And I'll tell you why. There's a couple reasons. And by the way, I'll be on the call Thursday night, Packers-Lions. I'll be behind enemy lines there for the Westwood One with Ian Eagle. So I'll be scouting both of those teams in that game. So there's a couple reasons. One of which I think is super important for multiple reasons, is the bye. You know, we don't know who's going to be banged up or not for the Eagles at that time, but the Lions have a bunch of banged up guys. A bunch. I'm actually interviewing Alex Anzalone, their linebacker who broke his forearm for my show tomorrow, and that extra week for the Lions, that would really be critical to try to help get some more of their guys back. And for the Eagles, You don't know who that could be? I mean, I don't know. We're still waiting for more information on the Goddard injury. You don't know who else it could be as we move forward. But I think that the health part is gigantic. Playing one less game obviously helps. And then even if you just believe that they are on a collision course, I think I told you guys this before. I'll say it again. The atmosphere for the Lions-Rams playoff game last year, the first Lions playoff victory in 30 years, I was on the sideline for that. That was bonkers. I mean, that was a difference-making environment, I thought, for Detroit in that game. We know that Eagles home games have been a difference-making environment for the opposing teams, whoever come. Think about like the Vikings or the Niners. I mean, it is raucous at the link in the playoffs. I think it makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, I'll add one more, Ross, and I agree with you. I think it's really a big deal. I believe both the Eagles and Lions, Ross, had their byes in week five. So whoever doesn't get the bye is playing straight through from week six all the way, you know, potentially whatever that is. With week 21 would be the NFC championship. That, Ross, that's a lot of football in a row without any weeks off.
It's a terrific point. It's funny, I was on with guys in Houston today, and they're finally getting their bye, you know? So, and they played the Hall of Fame game. That does make a difference. I mean, that's a long stretch. I'm personally not a fan of the level of importance of the number one seed. I liked it better when the top two both got a bye. I think now the number one seed is way too important, way too heavily favored for those guys to get the bye and, you know, to get home field advantage, but I won't be complaining if it's the Eagles who get it.
Of course not. We appreciate it, Ross, as always. Have a great week, and we'll be listening on Thursday. That's a big game with the Packers Lions. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There we go. Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL. You left context out of that, saying that you and Ross had the same point. It was in the midst of yesterday, you downplaying the importance of the defense.
No, it's not the same thing, Joe.
That's what it was.
No, it was like, everybody's like, oh, did you see he destroyed Derrick Henry?
It was a great hit.
No, it was a great hit. It was, but it wasn't what people were making it out to be. It wasn't like, you know, they were met in the hole. It wasn't no Oklahoma drill type situation. It was like he was gathering himself and he made a solid tackle. It wasn't Oklahoma. Mm. It was Oklahoma drill. It might be.
Well, of course.
Might be picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, hopefully Derek's in one piece after that.
I think it's just the, like,
it's symbolic.
No, it was great. It was great.
Picking up Derek Henry, like, because I keep
dumping him on his head.
Yeah. Because I've heard people say, like, oh, you know, like, a lot of people could make that play. Why haven't they?
No, not really. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, I mean, he's been in the league like 9 years.
Right. Yeah, let's not put it in that realm.
Derrick Henry's the planter, not the plantee.
That's why. Right? It was who it was. And, yeah, I understand the physics of it, Hugh. He caught him in a good spot. I get that. He still did it.
No, he did. And it's one of those things where, and I asked Cooper this last night, his ability to tackle. It's something that a lot of DBs don't do. I mean, it's just they don't do that anymore because everybody's worried about the flash. But now in this NFL, especially now when you have guys playing more press and, you know, you have to be able to tackle. And he does a tremendous job at that, man. He really, really does.
Ross, the way he was describing Cooper's play in the slot, but almost as like that third linebacker because they have only two linebackers on the field most of the time because they're in nickel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The player he reminds me of, and I know when I say this, people are like, come on. He reminds me of later career Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson was a great corner, but then he transitioned in Green Bay and he was like, you know, a nickel around the line of scrimmage. He covered. He also made plays. He reminds
his
me of Charles Woodson.
His ability to be that third solid tackler.
Yes.
Now, I'm not – he's
and
nowhere.
Cover.
Yeah, he's nowhere in this category. But when I think of a guy that was able to do that, that's Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins could cover. No, and what I mean is a guy that could tackle, sure, hell of a tackler, could play in the box and still had that ability to cover the tight end, receivers, mm-hmm. whatever. Had that kind of ability.
I don't know how he didn't go in the first round. I still it doesn't make any sense. I mean, considering what he was at college and what he has been in the NFL, it was a miss by the rest of the league. Will in the Northeast is up next. What's up, Will?
My dream team. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, Will, what's up?
Man, y'all need to stop. And you know what it is, bro. Like, open field, Derrick Henry, full speed, full throttle.
We're looking at a dead man.
You saw what happened to three plays. He stiffed arm like three players and still got 12 yards. Come on, man. Stop playing. Put some respect on my man's name.
Until Cooper DeGene took him down, Will.
Y'all like to embellish stories, though. I'm okay with that.
I give him that. He caught him at a big
time. I wonder if his career's over after that.
Come on. You're going to see against the Giants when they get off this bye week. Yeah. But, all right, let me tell you something with Siri. You know what's going to make Sirianni one of the best, why he's great right now?
Mm.
This is why he's great right now. Nobody said it. 90% mental, 10% physical. He got these guys mentally ready. He got these guys mentally hungry. He got these guys ready to play, and guess what? Ain't nothing stopping them. See, the mental over physical any day. Because if your mental ain't right, that physical don't mean nothing on the field. If your head not in the game, and that's what he got these guys doing. He got these guys fully focused. It's no distractions in the locker room. It's no distractions on the outside. And these guys is locked in for him right now. And that's what's going to make him a great quarterback, man. I mean, a great coach. Because guess what? Without that, you've seen what happened last season. It's not happening this season. And that's one thing I want to say about Saquon, and I'm going to give him his props. He's not chasing no MVP. He's not chasing he is, but he's not letting that, you know, distract him from the big goal, and that's to win the Super Bowl. And he said that in the press conference, and I give him props for that, man, because he's locked in, he focused, and he want more than an MVP and the most yards for the season. He want that big-time ring, man, and I'm glad that he's going for it. And these Eagles, I don't care if we play the Giants in Detroit. I mean, excuse me. I don't care if we play the Lions in Detroit or here. We're going to knock them dudes off, man. We're the best team in the league, man. And the reason why is because we mentally ready for anybody.
Well, I like that. And they do look mentally ready right now. Will, we appreciate it. But what Ross said there, I understand the point that, like, if the Eagles and Lions play today, I understand why a lot of people would think the Eagles could and should win the game. That point Ross made about that number one seed, though, I do think it's important. It's less to me about where the game is on January 26th rather than the path to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That bye week, Hugh, one less game and a week off, it feels like a big deal.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I believe in the way that they're playing right now. So if that is the case, like in a perfect scenario, I would like to have that for the team.
Yeah, it's an advantage.
But the way that they're playing right now, Joe, I wouldn't be that concerned with it. I mean, because I think they're traveling well. And I'm saying all this because, for the most part, they're healthy.
Right now.
They're
healthy. Yeah.
And they're playing salty. And that's the thing that sticks out to me, man. This team is hungry. And I think that every inch that they move closer and every inch they get closer to the prize, they realize that. And it just kind of rejuvenates them just a little bit. And I think Coach Sirianni, you know, and he kind of alluded to this, that he's doing a good job of keeping the guys fresh.
Yeah, well, that's important, and they're going to need to because they got hopefully a lot more games to go here in the season. Our 215-592-9494. We spoke there a lot about Cooper DeGene, the hit that Hugh is slowly coming around to saying was the coolest hit of the season in the NFL. Let's hear more about Cooper DeGene, a little musical rendition here about Cooper. Let's hear it.
Calling his name Cooper DeGene, he said he goes green, and every head turned with people scream, he is the one. When he took Henry down to the ground,
he picked up the biggest back in the league and threw him to the ground.
People always told me, you get excited way too much. They'll go around raising Eagles fans' hopes. Sirianni always told me, be careful who you hype. But I have to praise this day, it amazes you and me.
Cooper DeGene is like no other.
He's just a kid who
plays as hard as he can.
But DeGene is just the start.
Quinyon Mitchell, Zach Bond, he's not the only one.
Yes, the kid is having some fun.
Jalen Carter, CJ, GJ, even a punter's a weapon.
More than 40 days, more than 40 nights, Cooper's playing hard. And with Vic Fangio in command,
his schemes and plans,
tackling guys to the floor, flying around. They hit, and they stop him again.
So take Nick's strong advice.
On the field, you can never be nice.
Don't be nice.
Don't be
play dice. People always told me not to scream and shout. You're gonna blow your voice box out.
Oh, go for it, Merle.
Sirianni always told me be physical some more. And now I'm definitely sure the birds are gonna soar. Oh.
Yeah. Cooper the Jean took down King Henry. Cooper the Jean took down King Henry. Cooper the Jean.
If Mike Quick is listening right now, I just need to let him know that every time he sang those verses yep. with Mike Quick's voice, I envision Mike Quick singing
Me
like
too.
That.
That
is crazy.
I thought Quick nailed that.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, that was a
no,
great rendition.
I can see Quick singing like that, and that's the funny thing about it. It's like,
and he took down King Henry. I mean, you guys, at some point, you're going to admit it this
no,
week.
No, I mean, he did.
He ended
did.
His career. I
he
mean,
did.
That's the end.
He did. He caught him. He caught him.
He got him. Mean, he got him. He got him. The great Joe Conklin there with that rendition with Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Aspen Theater in Westchester University on Friday, February 21st, and at the Broadway Theater in Pittman, New Jersey on Saturday, February 22nd. It's the story of Philly sports through music. Tickets make great holiday gifts. Get tickets at joeconklin.com.
All right, let's go to Pat in Ocean City. Who's up? Hey, Pat.
Hey, Pat. I got to talk to Hugh.
Go ahead.
Listen, I'm watching the game, and we're holding them to 12 points, and they're going in for a garbage touchdown. Hugh. Were you a Baltimore's Ravens fan at that drive?
Tell the truth, Hugh.
Nah, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
Come on. Mm. Come on, you.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
I want that beard. I want that beard.
You know what's funny? Because even when I saw it, I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. I mean, I didn't. I like, now the Dallas one, when we first got into this, I did want Dallas
so
to score.
So you admit to rooting for garbage time touchdowns?
Well, no, I admitted that time. But yeah. The other day, when he ran and they pulled the flag, I was like, oh, man, that's whack.
But once an offender, always an offender.
Nah,
yeah.
Nah, not,
Pat,
not,
Pat,
not
I
in
thought
that
the same thing, Pat. I thought the same thing.
No, Pat, I not in that
listen,
situation.
Listen, I think you should give the scissors to Brandon when you lose. He should cut that beard off on his show.
Wait a minute, we haven't decided. Hold up,
that's good
Pat.
Content, Pat. That's a good idea.
We haven't decided what we're doing with this beard just yet, Pat. Slow down. Pump
we're
brakes.
Taking it. We're taking it off.
Wait a minute, hold up, Pat. Hold up, Pat. We got 5 weeks.
Let him hear it, Pat.
Playing hard. Listen to me. That defense is playing hard because of that beard.
Hold up, Pat. Slow down. We ain't made a decision yet. I got all these hair care products.
We did. You
no,
did.
No, I'm just saying. I got all these hair care products for my beard and whatnot. I need to. No, we made that decision.
Send those back.
Pat, slow down, Pat. We got tired.
All right, listen. Every time I'm watching this game, I'm thinking about your beard.
I know, Pat. You know I mean? Pat, you are not the only one.
Listen to me. I'm not the only one.
I know.
I bet you Jalen Carter's out there thinking about your beard, too.
Hey, Jalen Carter probably
no
can't
question.
Wait. Yeah, they can't wait.
Pat, you're right about that.
Can't
Pat,
wait
good
to
phone
prove
call.
Me wrong.
Hugh, think about that. You got people out there thinking about your beard, and everyone deep down knows that you were kind of rooting for the garbage time touchdown.
I wasn't. No, I wasn't that time.
But you weren't upset when the Ravens scored.
No, I was kind of, because they were playing well. Like, I'm still an Eagle now, even though I have skin in the game. I'm still an Eagle.
You got hair in the game.
Yeah, I got hair in the game. But this is the thing. Now what happens right after the game and the defense plays well,
yep.
They blow my time. People, when I say they, I mean it with all due respect
and
love.
They're really going after you.
They get after me, man.
Well,
they be in the timeline
and
sending
me
stuff.
You said defense was a luxury.
And I'm like, all I want to know is, like, all these other weeks, y'all ain't got nothing to say. But now I got skin in the game. Everybody wants to point out this, that, and the third. It's cool.
Don't you know how this works? When you're wrong, you're quiet. When you're right, you're loud.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's how it is.
That's how WIP works. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Kiss the Baby. We will eliminate another team here across the NFL. Plus, we have to let you know, a big show announcement. What's going on the show starting tomorrow? Your phone calls. Are you willing to call Nick Sirianni a great coach right now? I'm not. I mean, he's a good coach, but this great legendary stuff is just ridiculous. Hughes got him as a very good coach. Where did he come down on Sirianni after 8 straight wins? And at 1:30, LeSean McCoy will join the show. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. festive, timely with this one? This one of your favorites, you?
Nah.
No.
One of Ross Tucker's favorites, though.
And there's no question about that. Joining us right now, as he does every Tuesday around this time, Ross Tucker. Follow him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, how you doing today?
I am fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great because the Eagles don't lose anymore, Ross. And they just keep stacking these big wins. Ross, Sunday in Baltimore against the Ravens. I just continue to be blown away by this defense. And I know it should have been evident 6 weeks ago, but it's evident. Like, I can't ignore it anymore. Ross, it feels like they're the best defense in the NFL. Would you agree? How great do you think this defense is right now?
Well, I do think they're the best defense in the NFL, and I think statistically they've proven that since the bye. And I think that's, more than anything else, the biggest reason why the Eagles have such a good chance to win the Super Bowl. You know, it's so funny because we weren't really talking about their defense that much in the offseason or even earlier in the season, or really even, you know, more recently. It feels like more of the talk has been Saquon. I feel like Sunday, for them to do it against Baltimore, this Ravens offense is awesome, like electric, what Lamar Jackson has done this year. For them to hold those guys to basically 12 points, and then they got a garbage touchdown late. Now, listen, I know that Justin Tucker missed some kicks, and that absolutely impacted the game. Still, I thought it was a very, very favorable performance for a defense that didn't even have one of their better players in Darius Slay.
You know, Ross, I'm curious, what do you see when you see Zach Bond play? What do you see from him, and why is he having so much success at that linebacker spot?
It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen, and I mean that sincerely. You know, it's such a hard sport to play. It's so hard to get to the NFL, as you know, Hugh, and to excel. For a guy to basically switch positions
yes,
and play this well at the new position right away, and to have such good instincts at the new position right away. Now, a lot of that is just he's obviously a very smart player, and he's able to do the work during the week in preparation to have a good feel for what's coming. But I can't emphasize this enough. I mean, I've talked to the linebacker coach about this. I've talked to Fangio about this. They brought him here. They initially had him on the radar to be a rotational edge guy, because the Saints had used him as an edge rusher at times, and to be a plus special teams player. And then when Fangio and Jed King watched him, the linebacker coach, they saw a couple of snaps. It was less than 20, I think, they told me, I want to say, where when the team would motion or shift the tight end, he would have to go from being on the ball to an off the ball in the box, and they saw enough in those, whatever it was, 20 snaps to give him this opportunity, and it's just absolutely flourishing. You can have good signings or whatever, or you can make good draft choices like Quinyon Mitchell or Cooper DeJean. Sometimes, you know, there is some good fortune. I think if they were being honest, even Fangio and Howie would tell you they weren't expecting this. They weren't expecting him to be this good. Although I don't know if they even thought that – I mean, obviously they loved DeJean to move up to get him. I don't know if they thought he'd be this good right away, especially with as much time as he missed in camp.
Well, he did miss a lot of time, and since he's gotten the lineup, they haven't lost a football game. And that hit – Ross, let's talk about that hit he had on Derrick Henry and just the impact that DeJean has had, because – yeah, if you had told me he'd be a starter right away, I said, oh, that makes sense. He was a really good player in college. Maybe should have been a first-round pick. But it feels like they had a huge weakness at the nickel spot with Avante Maddox the first month, and it's gone to a great strength. And that hit was like the exclamation point of his season so far.
No question. But what's crazy, Joe, is I think this is the third or fourth week I've been on with you guys, and we've talked about a Cooper DeJean play.
Yep.
You know, he had the Jamar Chase 4th-and-1. There was another one that was critical. That's the thing, is he's not just a good player. He's clutch. And that hit, now listen, you know, Henry had kind of just caught the ball, and I get that. It's not like Henry had a head of steam. It doesn't matter. It's the mindset. It's the confidence that gives the whole rest of the team. I saw a video with the whole sideline going absolutely crazy. I don't know what that celebration thing is that he did afterwards, but I'm here for it. I mean, it's I knew it would be good in coverage, But I don't think I knew he was this physical. You know, I mean, he had all the pick sixes at Iowa, was such a good punt returner. For him to be such a just straight up baller and physical like this, it's so important at that position. I mean, they play, you know, back in the day when there was 40 linemen, three linebackers, he's basically that linebacker. I mean, he's basically the third linebacker with as much as they play nickel. And he's showing that he can cover like a corner, but he can hit like and play physical like almost like a safety, maybe even more than a safety. It's almost like when I watch him, it's like you're watching Reed Blankenship, you know, on the tackling part of it and the run defense part of it, but then, you know, a very high-end corner on the coverage part. He's just he's a rare breed.
Go ahead, you.
No, I'm just about to say it. You didn't say anything when Ross said something about him gathering and tackling Derrick Henry like that, but you gave me a whole lot of heat. But that's not
the Hugh was trying to downplay the tackle.
No,
he was trying to downplay it, and I said, Ross, that was an awesome tackle.
I basically said the same thing that you said, and Joe gave me a lot of pushback.
So that's listen.
Neither here nor there.
No,
it was an amazing, pure form tackle by Cooper DeJean. It looked awesome. If Derrick Henry had a head of steam, there's not a prayer in heck that would have happened.
Ross, thank you. See, I didn't say all that. I didn't say all that, but that's what I was thinking.
It was a good
tackle. Yeah. But this is the question I wanted to ask you, because we had Cooper DeJean on last night, and he really, really downplayed it. But I just want to ask you, from your perspective, do you feel like tackling is contagious? Because when he got into the lineup, it felt to me like everybody had a conscious effort in that secondary to try to be better tacklers. So with that, do you think that tackling is contagious when it comes to stuff like that?
I think physicality is contagious. And the reason why I say that is I think you can tell when an offensive line has like a bully or two with it, and you can see the offensive lines that don't. I've always noticed that. You know, when John Runyon was here, and you know this, Hugh, he like the rest of the O-line, they weren't all like him, right?
Mm-mm.
But they were more than they otherwise would have been because they saw what he did, and they didn't want to look bad by comparison. So, like, Wellborn and Hank and those guys, they gave it a little bit more than they probably naturally would have. I think on defense, when you have guys out there laying the wood, I think you see the reaction on the sideline. You see the reaction. You want to be the one.
Yeah, you want to be a part
reaction.
Of that. Yeah, you want to be a
part
of that.
But I will say this. Quinyon is not afraid to hit. And then Gardner Johnson lays the wood. You know, we know Reed will hit people. So Slay's probably the only one that's not, you know, he's been around a long time. Slay's just trying to make sure he stays healthy and is there for the rest of the year. He's not really trying to lay people down. The other guys, I mean, that's who Reed is. That's who Gardner Johnson is. And Quinyon and Cooper DeJean, let's hope that's who they are. But right now, they're young bulls, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to show what they got.
Ross, how important is the number one seed? It feels like the two top teams in the NFC are clearly the Eagles and Lions. So I think the Packers at that third spot, they're dangerous. But Eagles, Lions, how important do you think the number one seed is? Because the Eagles obviously have a real chance now if they could finish strong here.
Very, very, very important. And I'll tell you why. There's a couple reasons. And by the way, I'll be on the call Thursday night, Packers-Lions.
Huge game.
Behind enemy lines there for the Westwood One with Ian Eagle. So I'll be scouting both of those teams in that game. So there's a couple reasons. One of which I think is super important for multiple reasons, is the bye. You know, we don't know who's going to be banged up or not for the Eagles at that time, but the Lions have a bunch of banged up guys. A bunch. I'm actually interviewing Alex Anzalone, their linebacker who broke his forearm for my show tomorrow, and that extra week for the Lions, that would really be critical to try to help get some more of their guys back. And for the Eagles, You don't know who that could be? I mean, I don't know. We're still waiting for more information on the Goddard injury. You don't know who else it could be as we move forward. But I think that the health part is gigantic. Playing one less game obviously helps. And then even if you just believe that they are on a collision course, I think I told you guys this before. I'll say it again. The atmosphere for the Lions-Rams playoff game last year, the first Lions playoff victory in 30 years, I was on the sideline for that. That was bonkers. I mean, that was a difference-making environment, I thought, for Detroit in that game. We know that Eagles home games have been a difference-making environment for the opposing teams, whoever come. Think about like the Vikings or the Niners. I mean, it is raucous at the link in the playoffs. I think it makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, I'll add one more, Ross, and I agree with you. I think it's really a big deal. I believe both the Eagles and Lions, Ross, had their byes in week five. So whoever doesn't get the bye is playing straight through from week six all the way, you know, potentially whatever that is, with week 21 would be the NFC championship. That, Ross, that's a lot of football in a row without any weeks off.
It's a terrific point. It's funny, I was on with guys in Houston today, and they're finally getting their bye, you know? So, and they played the Hall of Fame game. That does make a difference. I mean, that's a long stretch. I'm personally not a fan of the level of importance of the number one seed. I liked it better when the top two both got a bye. I think now the number one seed is way too important, way too heavily favored for those guys to get the bye and, you know, to get home field advantage, but I won't be complaining if it's the Eagles who get it.
Of course not. We appreciate it, Ross, as always. Have a great week, and we'll be listening on Thursday. That's a big game with the Packers Lions. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There have a good one. Ross Tucker, at Ross Tucker NFL. You left context out of that, saying that you and Ross had the same point. It was in the midst of yesterday, you downplaying the importance of the defense.
No, it's not the same thing, Joe. No, it was like, everybody's like, oh, did you see he destroyed Derrick Henry?
It was a great hit.
No, it was a great hit. It was, but it wasn't what people were making it out to be. It wasn't like, you know, they were met in the hole. It wasn't no Oklahoma drill type situation. It was like he was gathering himself and he made a solid tackle. It wasn't Oklahoma. Mm. It was Oklahoma drill. It might be.
Well, of course.
Might be picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, hopefully Derek's in one piece after that.
I think it's just the, like,
it's symbolic.
No, it was great. It was great.
Picking up Derek Kent, like, because I keep
dumping him on his head.
Yeah. Because I've heard people say, like, oh, you know, like, a lot of people could make that play. Why haven't they?
No, not really. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, he's been in the league like 9 years.
Right. Yeah, let's not put it in that realm.
Derrick Henry's the planter, not the plantee.
That's why. Right? It was who it was. And, yeah, I understand the physics of it, Hugh. He caught him in a good spot. I get that. He still did it.
No, he did. And it's one of those things where, and I asked Cooper this last night, his ability to tackle. It's something that a lot of DBs don't do. I mean, it's just they don't do that anymore because everybody's worried about the flash. But now in this NFL, especially now when you have guys playing more press and, you know, you have to be able to tackle. And he does a tremendous job at that, man. He really, really does.
Ross, the way he was describing Cooper's play in the slot, but almost as like that third linebacker, because they have only two linebackers on the field most of the time because they're in nickel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The player he reminds me of, and I know when I say this, people are like, come on. He reminds me of later career Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson was a great corner, but then he transitioned in Green Bay, and he was like a nickel around the line of scrimmage. He covered. He also made plays. He reminds me of Charles Woodson.
His ability to be that third solid tackler.
Yes.
Now, I'm not – he's nowhere. Yeah, he's nowhere in this category. But when I think of a guy that was able to do that, that's Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins could cover. No, and what I mean is a guy that could tackle, sure, hell of a tackler, could play in the box and still had that ability to cover the tight end, receivers, mm-hmm. whatever. Had that kind of ability.
I don't know how he didn't go in the first round. I still don't. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, considering what he was at college and what he has been in the NFL, it was a miss by the rest of the league. Will in the Northeast is up next. What's up, Will?
My dream team. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Okay, Will, what's up?
Man, y'all need to stop. And you know what it is, bro. Like, open field, Derrick Henry, full speed, full throttle.
We're looking at a dead man.
You saw what happened to three players. He stiffed arm like three players and still got 12 yards. Come on, man. Stop playing. Put some respect on my man's name.
Until Cooper DeJean took him down, Will.
Y'all like the embellish stories, though. I'm okay with that.
I give him that. He caught him at a big time.
I wonder if his career's over after that.
Come on. You're going to see against the Giants when they get off this bye week. Yeah. But, all right, let me tell you something with Siri. You know what's going to make Sirianni one of the best, why he's great right now?
Mm.
This is why he's great right now. Nobody said it. 90% mental, 10% physical. He got these guys mentally ready. He got these guys mentally hungry. He got these guys ready to play. And guess what? Ain't nothing stopping them. See, the mental over physical any day. Because if your mental ain't right, that physical don't mean nothing on the field. If your head not in the game, and that's what he got these guys doing. He got these guys fully focused. It's no distractions in the locker room. It's no distractions on the outside. And these guys is locked in for him right now. And that's what's going to make him a great quarterback, man. I mean, a great coach. Because guess what? Without that, you've seen what happened last season. It's not happening this season. And that's one thing I want to say about Saquon, and I'm going to give him his props. He's not chasing no MVP. He's not chasing he is, but he's not letting that, you know, distract him from the big goal, and that's to win the Super Bowl. And he said that in the press conference, and I give him props for that, man, because he's locked in, he focused, and he want more than an MVP and the most yards for the season. He want that big-time ring, man, and I'm glad that he's going for it. And these Eagles, I don't care if we play the Giants in Detroit. I mean, excuse me. I don't care if we play the Lions in Detroit or here. We're going to knock them dudes off, man. We're the best team in the league, man. And the reason why is because we mentally ready for anybody.
Well, I like that. And they do look mentally ready right now. Will, we appreciate it. But what Ross said there, I understand the point that, like, if the Eagles and Lions play today, I understand why a lot of people would think the Eagles could and should win the game. That point Ross made about that number one seed, though, I do think it's important. It's less to me about where the game is on January 26th rather than the path to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That bye week, Hugh, one less game and a week off, it feels like a big deal.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I believe in the way that they're playing right now. So if that is the case, like in a perfect scenario, I would like to have that for the team.
Yeah, it's an advantage.
But the way that they're playing right now, Joe, I wouldn't be that concerned with it. I mean, because I think they're traveling well. And I'm saying all this because, for the most part, they're healthy.
Right now.
They're healthy.
Yeah.
And they're playing salty. And that's the thing that sticks out to me, man. This team is hungry. And I think that every inch that they move closer and every inch they get closer to the prize, they realize that. And it just kind of rejuvenates them just a little bit. And I think Coach Sirianni, you know, and he kind of alluded to this, that he's doing a good job of keeping the guys fresh.
Yeah, well, that's important, and they're going to need to because they got hopefully a lot more games to go here in the season. All right, 215-592-9494. We spoke there a lot about Cooper DeJean, the hit that Hugh is slowly coming around to saying was the coolest hit of the season in the NFL. Let's hear more about Cooper DeJean, a little musical rendition here about Cooper. Let's hear it.
Calling his name Cooper DeJean, he said he goes green. And every head turned when people scream, he is the one. When he took Henry down to the ground,
he picked up the biggest back in the league and threw him to the ground.
People always told me, you get excited way too much. They'll go around raising Eagles fans' hopes. Sirianni always told me, be careful who you hype. But I have to praise this day, it amazes you and me.
Cooper DeJean is like no other.
He's just a kid who
plays as hard as he can.
But DeJean is just the start.
Quinyon Mitchell, Zach Bond, he's not the only one.
Yes, the kid is having some fun.
Jalen Carter, CJ, GJ, even a punter's a weapon.
More than 40 days, more than 40 nights, Cooper's playing hard. And with Vic Fangio in command,
his schemes and plans,
tackling guys to the floor, flying around. They hit and they stop him again.
So take Nick's strong advice.
On the field you can never be nice.
Don't be nice.
Don't be nice. People always told me not to scream and shout. You're gonna blow your voice box out.
Oh, go for it, Merle.
Sirianni always told me be physical some more. And now I'm deathly sure the birds are gonna soar.
Yeah.
Cooper the Gene took down King Henry. Cooper the Gene took down King Henry. Cooper the Gene.
If Mike Quick is listening right now, I just need to let him know that every time he sang those verses with Mike Quick's voice, I envision Mike Quick singing that. That is crazy.
I thought Quick nailed that.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, that was a great rendition.
I can see Quick singing like that, and that's the funny thing about it. It's like,
and he took down King Henry. I mean, you guys, at some point, you're going to admit it this week.
No, I mean, he did.
He ended his career. I mean, that's the end.
He did. He caught him. He caught him.
He got him. He got him. He got him. The great Joe Conklin there with that rendition with Cooper DeGene.
Yeah, see Joe Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Aspen Theater in Westchester University on Friday, February 21st, and at the Broadway Theater in Pittman, New Jersey on Saturday, February 22nd. It's the story of Philly sports through music. Tickets make great holiday gifts. Get tickets at joeconklin.com.
All right, let's go to Pat in Ocean City. Who's up? Hey, Pat.
Hey, Pat. I got to talk to Hugh.
Go ahead.
Listen, I'm watching the game, and we're holding them to 12 points, and they're going in for a garbage touchdown. Hugh, were you a Baltimore's Ravens fan at that drive?
Tell the truth, Hugh.
Nah, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
Come on, come on, you.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
I want that beard. I want that beard.
You know what's funny? Because even when I saw it, I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. I mean, I didn't. Now the Dallas one, when we first got into this, I did want Dallas
so
to score.
So you admit to rooting for garbage time touchdowns?
Well, no, I admitted that time. But yes, the other day, When he ran and they pulled the flag, I was like, oh, man, that's whack.
But once an offender, always an offender. I thought the same thing.
No, Pat, I'm not in that situation.
Listen, I think you should give the scissors to Brandon when you lose. He should cut that beard off on his show.
Wait a minute, we haven't decided. Hold up,
that's good
Pat.
Content, Pat. That's a good idea.
We haven't decided what we're doing with this beard just yet, Pat. Slow down. Pump
we're
brakes.
Taking it. We're taking it off.
Wait a minute, hold up, Pat. Hold up, Pat. We got 5 weeks.
Let him hear it, Pat.
Playing hard. Listen to me. That defense is playing hard because of that beard.
Hold up, Pat. Pat, slow down. We ain't made a decision yet. I got all these haircare products.
We did. You
did. No, I'm just saying. I got all these haircare products from a beard and whatnot. I need to. No, we ain't made that decision.
Send those back.
Pat, slow down, Pat. We got tired.
All right, listen, I every time I'm watching this game, I'm thinking about your beard.
I know, Pat. Pat, you are not the only one.
Listen to me. I'm not the only one.
I know.
I bet you Jalen Carter's out there thinking about your beard, too.
Hey, Jalen Carter probably
no
can't
question.
Wait. Yeah, they can't wait.
Pat, you're right about that.
Can't
Pat,
wait
good
to
phone
prove
call.
Me wrong.
Hugh, think about that. You got people out there thinking about your beard, and everyone deep down knows that you were kind of rooting for the garbage time touchdown.
I wasn't that time.
But you weren't upset when the Ravens scored.
No, I was kind of, because they were playing well. Like, I'm still an Eagle now, even though I have skin in the game, I'm still an Eagle.
You got hair in the game.
Yeah, I got hair in the game. But this is the thing. Now what happens right after the game and the defense plays well, they blow my time. People, when I say they, I mean it with all due respect
and
love.
They're really going after you.
They get after me, man.
Well,
they be in the timeline and
sending
me stuff.
You said defense was a luxury.
And I'm like, all I want to know is, like, all these other weeks, y'all ain't got nothing to say, but now I got skin in the game. Everybody wants to point out this, that, and the third. It's cool.
Don't you know how this works? When you're wrong, you're quiet. When you're right, you're loud.
Yeah,
that's how WIP works. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, Kiss the Baby. We will eliminate another team here across the NFL. Plus, we have to let you know, a big show announcement. What's going on the show starting tomorrow? Your phone calls. Are you willing to call Nick Sirianni a great coach right now? I'm not. I mean, he's a good coach, but this great legendary stuff is just ridiculous. Hughes got him as a very good coach. Where did he come down on Sirianni after 8 straight wins? And at 1:30, LeSean McCoy will join the show. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.